Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
As the world slept, and as the world still sleeps, the Prince of Peace came. Isaiah 9:6 has been our text through this series, and it makes us ask the question this morning as we look at this passage of Scripture, as we ponder this name, the Prince of Peace: what do you do when the peace factor wears thin in your life? Is peace available in your heart and in your mind to the world in this season that we find ourselves in? Today, as we wrap up our Christmas series on the names of God, Isaiah 9's prophecy about the coming Messiah speaks of the name Prince of Peace. And remember this pronouncement 700 to 800 years prior to the coming of Christ, prior to the actual fulfillment of this prophecy. Let me just pause real quick and talk to you. We're going to talk about this in a couple weeks, but what do you do when the promise is slow to come? I mean, we think a day, I can maybe wait a few days, I'm all right with that, a week. But if they begin to linger, do we begin to grow weary? But think about this. One person put it this way: the waiting is the process that precedes the promise. And so here we have Isaiah 9:6, a promise given, and it's preceded by 700 to 800 years of waiting. But in that waiting season, the promise is still true, because the promise that was proclaimed that day is the promise that's proclaimed today from Isaiah 9:6, and you shall call him Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Peace, that word shalom, literally the master of shalom, the master of peace. And shalom to Isaiah, to the Hebrew world, shalom is not the absence. We have to understand, and we have to break through our American filter and our American concept of what peace is, because for the Jew, for Isaiah, as he's prophesying about this Prince of Peace coming, the idea of peace for them is not the absence of conflict. It's not the absence of trouble. It's not the absence of war. You think about it in the context of 9:6, there's this dark season that's going on for them. The Assyrians have been reaping havoc upon Israel. And shalom at its heart, that word at its heart means flourishing. So you have peace and you have prosperity and an intact state of favorable circumstances. So here's the key thought that I want you to take away this morning as you step into this Christmas week. Peace isn't the absence of trouble. Peace is knowing God in the midst of your trouble. When Jesus comes, when he comes, it isn't about him issuing a truth between conflicting parties when he arrives 700 to 800 years later after this prophecy. It's not him arriving and sitting people down at a table and dealing with their animosity towards one another. And if that happens, great. It means as Jesus comes, Jesus is coming to usher into the flourishing that God desires, God desired for the world, for relationships, for your life. Flourishing is the coming of Jesus. Historically, when the angels come to Bethlehem that night, that Luke accounts in Luke chapter 2. And they make this pronouncement: hey, behold, I bring you good news of great joy. What's the angel say next? Peace on earth. We have to understand, we have to remind ourselves, it was one of the least peaceful nights possibly in the history of humanity. The political climate of Palestine was tense, to say the least. Caesar Augusta was ruling with Pax Romana, meaning the peace of Rome. So Rome was a dominant force. It was a mighty military, a political might, so strong that it would bring peace in Rome while the outlying areas were suffering havoc under the oppression of Rome. And an angel shows up and says, there will be peace for all the earth. How many know the peace of Rome has passed, but the peace of Christ lasts? Jesus was born in an occupied territory during an oppressive regime. Think about the difficulty of the situation, so painted so eloquently by Ken Guire in that reading. But you have an unplanned pregnancy, at least humanly speaking, it was unplanned. You have political tension. You have a 9-month-year-old young lady riding on a donkey. You have no rooms available in Bethlehem. Motel 6 was, the lights were off. You have a stable to choose from. And into that night, without peace, an angel of God makes this pronouncement in Luke chapter 2, verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Unto you. To you, shepherds out in the field, to you who society looks as an outcast, to you who feel alone, to you a Savior is born. In the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. The current headlines of our culture, of our society, read anything but peace, don't they? I mean, the Center of Disease Control tell us that the suicide rate in the U.S. has reached an all-time high, a 50-year high. 2017, think about this, in 2017, 50,000 people in America committed suicide. Think about that number. That is a big community in the state of Kansas. Gone. 128 people every day. Despair, angst, and worry are normative. The NBC News tells us, reported, that 1 in 6 Americans take an antidepressant. Yet Isaiah 9:6 says the Prince of Peace. Apparently, in America, even though the economy is strong and the job market is healthy and growing and the opportunity to buy stuff abounds, at your convenience, and you can go places crazy easy, it appears something is missing in the landscape of America. Maybe in your home. In the middle of Israel's darkness and in the middle of our modern day darkness, God is coming into our midst and saying, I want to lead you into peace. In fact, in the absence of peace, I want to continue to announce the possibility of peace. Examples of how the need of peace shows up in so many different ways. I mean, for the student in the building this morning, walking the hallways of your middle school or at your high school, and the pressures and the tensions and the moments of aloneness that you feel, Jesus would come alongside you in that hallway, in hallway C or wherever you find yourself, and say, I want to give you my peace. For the college graduate or the college student who is going, I don't know if I really want to do what I set out to do, but yet I'm not too far away from graduating, so I don't know what to do. Jesus comes to you and tells you, and I want to say to you as your pastor, you are so much more than a profession. Jesus wants to give you his peace. To the person in midlife who your home is changing because the kids are gone and things feel a little bit different and you wonder, who am I? What is my role? How do I navigate this season? Jesus comes to you and would say to you, I am the Prince of Peace in the midst of this season. Though you may feel like a title has changed, I want you to know my title has never changed. I was the Prince of Peace in Isaiah 9:6, and I'm the Prince of Peace today. To the widow or to the widower, and the season feels not any easier than it was a year ago or a decade ago, Jesus would say, I am your peace. To the one who recently retired and your identity was your work, and now you've stepped away from that and the phone doesn't ring anymore, looking for your assistance. And so now there's this search of, who am I? Jesus would step into your season and to say, I want you to know something. I'm with you in this season, and you're way more than what you retired from. I am your peace. And so today, we want to talk about the Prince of Peace, that there is a peacemaker in our story. Let's just unpack it this way. God's plan has always been peace. In the midst of any turmoil that you see or that you encounter, that's God's plan. God's plan has always been about peace. Shalom has always been the standard of God. We are heading to a reality, a future where shalom is going to be the rule of eternity. Do you understand that? No more parking lots. No more checkout lanes. No more, what should we have for dinner tonight? It'll just be peace. Let me ask you, how do you describe heaven? You know how I want to describe it for you this morning? Flourishing. How do you describe heaven? Peaceful. How do you describe heaven? Everything God intended for humanity. That is heaven. Absence of war, absence of suffering, absence of things being ripped apart. This is our future because shalom has always been the standard of God. Proverbs writes this for us in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 19. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. So God through is inspiring the writer of Proverbs, and he's speaking of wisdom. Two verses earlier, speaking of wisdom, says this, her ways are always of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. When the priests gave a blessing to the people in Numbers chapter 6, often I'll do this at the conclusion of a service. Listen to what the priest would say in Numbers chapter 6, verse 24. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That's the standard of God. That you would be flourishing, that your home, that your family would be flourishing, that Valley Center would be flourishing, that the area around Valley would be flourishing, that America, that the nations of the world would be flourishing. That is God's plan. Shalom is the standard of God. Begs the question, then, where shalom was the plan, where shalom was the standard, tragedy is our reality. In all of our lives, there's a story of something that isn't flourishing, or at one point, something that wasn't flourishing, but it was disintegrating. Perhaps a diagnosis came into your world and you are watching a loved one disintegrate. A work partnership is falling apart. Good friends, you grew up, you played in the front yard together, you went through elementary school and middle school together, you would sit at the lunch table, but now that you're in high school, you find that that relationship is moving apart. For whatever reason, it's disintegrating. Perhaps it's your finances and they're collapsing and you feel and you know it's only a matter of time. See, everything in life has that pull of sin that tears things apart where God's plan was to put things back together again. And one day, that will be the final thing where sin, the ramifications of sin is no more. But until then, we all experience it. All around us, beginning with the garden, our peace with God was broken. And when our peace with God is broken, our peace with one another gets broken too, right? Case in point, someone had the audacity to put a Kansas City Chief flag right in the front middle. I mean, you know, right? My peace is just shattered this morning. I'm just kidding. That's hilarious. I'll meet you in the parking lot after service. Just kidding. But all around us, right? Peace is broken. I mean, we see it in our nation this week with what's going on in D.C. And when our peace with God is broken, our peace with one another will be broken as well. It doesn't take long to see selfishness leave a mark on our relationships, right? The Bible tells us that the whole world is groaning for the shalom of God. This week, as I was celebrating the snow Monday morning out running in it, thinking, man, this is peace to me. In Louisiana, communities are decimated by tornadoes. The earth itself longs for the standard of shalom in Romans chapter 8, verse 22, for we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. Not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoptions of sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it patiently. Or with patience. We long for it. How does that happen? God's solution isn't a peace plan that we put together. God's solution is the peacemaker, the Savior, the Prince of Peace, Jesus. This is God's plan to bring flourishing back into the world. His plan isn't circumstantial, that your life would be without ripples and struggles. That isn't where peace comes from. That peace isn't or wasn't celestial, that it would come to when you see an angel in the sky and then your world is just from that point on, there's going to be perfect peace in your life. That peace isn't terrestrial, that they brought that day that when Jesus was born, they brought gifts, but all the gold and the frankincense can't bring you peace. We've all experienced that, haven't we? We know that it isn't relational. Joseph got the girl at the end of the story, but just because you have relationships doesn't mean that there is peace. The peace comes in a person. And that's what Isaiah is saying in 9:6. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Basically, excuse me, what we're saying today is God is extending an olive branch to the world. What we broke, God is restoring in Israel, or restoring in Jesus. Today, God is extending an olive branch to you and saying, I want to make peace with you. In Genesis 8, it's the account of after the flood of Noah's flood, the water is rescending, right? And Noah's like, man, we're going to get out of this boat. I'm excited. It's been, you know, a long time in this boat. And so what's Noah do? He sends out a dove, right? And the dove returns. And what does the dove return with? He returns with an olive leaf in its beak. Noah waits a couple days. He knows that things are beginning to dry out and flourish again within the land. So Noah sends out the dove again. This time the dove doesn't come back. And so Noah says he knows that it's time, that they were good. And that emblem of that olive leaf is still a part of our culture today. I mean, the United Nations. What's the emblem of the United Nations? When you see the flag, it's the emblem and it's wrapped with what? An olive branch. It's the fabric of life. It's extending this olive, this idea of peace to humanity. And it really doesn't matter what our opinion is of the UN and the function of that. The reality is that this idea of humanity looking for peace. And through the prophet Isaiah, God says, you want peace? I'm going to send you the Prince of Peace. That all came from God saying, you rebelled against me. You broke peace with me. Judgment has to come to the world, but I am a peacemaking God, and I want to be at peace with you. So I'm sending a baby, and this baby is going to restore shalom to you. So Jesus, the peacemaker, is now on planet Earth. And we need to get our eyes on Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Amen? And we need to lock our eyes on him. Not just as someone who is in the fabric of human history, if that's your view of Jesus, but to lock on as the Prince of Peace, that God, he's God's olive branch to you and to me. And to get there, we have to understand that Jesus is real. We have to understand his background, and we talked about that 4 weeks ago. He knows you. He knows at the bottom of all of our questioning of God and the questioning of life and the questions that we experience and their struggles, God is the bedrock of the peace that is available to you through his Son. Within the heart of every person in the world is this longing for shalom. I mean, that flag's still up there, but you think about 25 years ago, there was the Oslo Peace Treaty that extended. And this longing for peace within the heart of man is seen here as President Clinton is in there in the background between the two leaders of Israel and Palestine. And so 25 years ago, this Oslo Peace Treaty was signed on the south lawn of the White House. But yet, in those regions of the world, peace is still absent. Zechariah spoke of Jesus in this way in Luke chapter 1, verse 79. He would guide our feet in the way of peace. Isaiah describes the work of the Prince of Peace this way in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs. He's carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we're healed. Jesus, under the canopy of olive trees, said this, not my will, but your will be done. And he offered himself, if you will, as an olive branch so that you and I could know peace. God's plan, the Prince of Peace, is going to give himself so that you can have peace and be at peace with God. Romans chapter 4, verse 25, Paul writes it this way, speaking of Jesus, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Understand that there was a day when the peacemaker, the Prince of Peace, came into the city of peace, Jerusalem, and gave his life on a cross and taking all the anti-shalom on his life and the repercussions of it upon himself. And the result of that is God saying, you can flourish in your season and in your situation now because of what my son did for you. Do you believe that? That pushes us a little bit, doesn't it? If I could just say it this way, Isaiah 9:6, under the banner of the Prince of Peace, says this to you. And it was almost like this week, as I was praying and I was just praying through the message and looking at the message and studying, I just want to say to some of you, you're going to flourish again. You're going to flourish again because of the Prince of Peace. You're going to live again because of the Prince of Peace. No one may know the darkness or the death that you feel within your being. But I just want to say to you, because of the Prince of Peace, you're going to live again. He's your shalom. You're going to have a place at the table of the Lord if you don't know the Lord, because he is your Prince of Peace and he invites you to the table. The Prince of Peace gives you the possibility of a new birth certificate, of a new day, of his peace. The Prince of Peace extends to you peace. You know, we sing a song, and we used to sing it a lot back in the day, but he is our peace. Remember that song? I won't sing it to you because I want you to have peace right now. But I was thinking about it this week, just kind of humming it under my breath. And if you don't have peace this morning, and you don't have a church background, or maybe you did, and for whatever reason you've stepped away, but you find yourself here today, you need to know the Prince of Peace. Not about him, not get around him. You need to know him. And you can. Don't let this season pass you by without connecting to the Prince of Peace. If you would say of yourself, man, I'm a follower of Jesus, but in this season of my life, peace seems to be lacking. Peace seems to be missing. And if I could just say to you, if that's you, peace isn't the absence of trouble. Peace is knowing God in the midst of your trouble. Because whether you're in your living room or in a hospital room or walking down the street by yourself under the canopy of heaven, the Prince of Peace is with you. And he's fully aware of what's going on in you and around you. And he would say to you, I am your peace. Ephesians chapter 2, if the worship team would come. Verse 14, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we have both access in one Spirit to the Father. So when you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone.
Everybody dance. Everybody.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.